I'd like to give you a bit of a roadmap so that you know where I'm going to be going. And I'll just put that down there. And we're not actually going down from Real to London today, but it's just a picture of a map on the wall there. But this is where we're going to be going in this talk today. Here's a little roadmap so that you know where I'm going to be heading, and you can come along with me. We're going to be talking about families, good things and responsibilities, about God's family, good things and responsibilities, about giving, taking and matching, whatever that is, and about you are a priest, you are, and what do priests do? So that's the sort of roadmap of where we're going today, looking at families, God's families, giving, taking and matching, and you are a priest. Well, I want to think about families, first of all. And we have different kinds of families these days. You know, it used to be sort of like this, although perhaps not quite so many children as that. Anyone want to give me how many people there are in the way of children there? 9 kids, I think, if you count up correctly. Yeah, we don't usually have families quite that big these days. But families have lots of good things going for them. And I want us to think of some of those things. What if you think about family, whether you've got a single parent or, you know, traditional mother and father and all that, what are some of the good things? Just call out some of the good things that you have from a family.
Support.
Support, yeah, okay. What else?
Love.
Love, yep. What was that one? Didn't hear you. Okay. Well, I made a little list of things, some of the good things that families have. Perhaps you thought of some of these. Okay. Love. That was one of the early ones. Fun. Hopefully, families have lots of fun. Caring for each other. That's really, really important. When you've got a problem, you can go back to your family and they care for one another and they listen to one another. You've got comfort. Someone who really loves you and cares for you. A place of safety. You've got a nurturing environment, hopefully, and helping kids grow up, and encouragement. All those things are good things, aren't they, that you get in families? And all of those should be going on. But also families have responsibilities. And these are some of the things that I thought of families. If you have a family, one of the basic things you're supposed to do is provide food, isn't it? You know, you expect them to, when you get there in the evening or in the morning, for something to eat. Providing shelter and home. Those are all good things. But the response, so somebody has to provide the food. Someone has to provide the shelter. Often it's the mother in traditional families that provides most of the food, although more and more men are doing it as well, which is very good. But these are things that have to be provided. They have to be there. If there's no food, then everybody gets upset. But then you get to very more basic things like emptying the rubbish. Someone has to have the responsibility for emptying the rubbish, or it gets piled up in the front hall or in the kitchen or somewhere. Someone in the family has responsibility for making beds. Now, hopefully the kids are learning to do that, but it's often before the kids, or it's often the mother or father that do that. Cooking, cleaning and washing clothes and sheets. All these are responsibilities of families, aren't they? And then a big one, paying the bills. And in a Christian environment, living as a Christian family. So those are the things they have. We have responsibilities and benefits, really, as families. Lots of good things going, but there's a price to pay as well. And it's a bit similar with God's family. When we're in God's family, we also have privileges and benefits. And there are lots of good things, I think, in a family. God's family has great privileges. But also, as members of God's family, we have responsibilities too. And we'll be thinking about those things today, what the benefits and privileges and responsibilities of being in God's family are. Now, I want to talk to you about an idea which is quite a new idea, which I've just come across recently, and it's a very interesting one. It says people in their relationships with one another are givers, takers, or matchers. Now, this will fit in a minute. You'll see what it's about. Givers, takers, and matchers. In some groups, you find that some people are always the ones who give. They're the ones who help, who get things ready, who prepare, who help other people in the group. There are other people in groups that are focusing mainly on what they can get. So they're always taking. So the food's on the table, they eat it. They don't think about preparing it, but they do think about taking it and eating it. You know, the room is untidy, and they're happy when their mother tidies or the father tidies up. So there are givers and takers in groups. And we need to think about, because these sort of may characterize us as well. We may be like some of these people. But there are also matchers. And matchers are people who say, he never helps me, so I won't help him. Or, he helped me that time, so I will help him back this time. But it's a sort of an exchange, you know. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. So you've got these three types of people that you find in groups. In families you find them, givers, often the parents, takers, often the children, and matchers, people who just sort of share what, you know, you give to me and I'll give back to you. So in a family you've got those things, and you get them in other groups too, like in churches. Matching, there's a giver, a taker, and matchers, there we go. So matching is where two people do something for each other. You say it's a sort of exchange. You know, you do this for me and I'll do that for you. So in a family at home, you also have givers and takers and matchers. And I wonder how you fit into that group. Well, which one are you mainly? Are you mainly a giver in that group, or a taker, or a matcher, only doing things when people have done something for you? And it's the same with God's family too. We have givers and takers and matchers. In the church, as members of Christ's body, we have people who are givers, people who are just mainly takers, and people who say, well, I will do this for you if you do that for me, or you did that for me, so I will help you now. So it's quite an interesting idea, and these categories of people, I think, fit into lots of parts of life. Now, here's a question. Is God a giver or a taker or a matcher? What do you think about that? Is God a giver? Is he a taker? Or is he a matcher? Well, let's think about giving and getting from God. God is a giver. And if you think about it, just take a deep breath now. Breathe out. Who gave you that breath? God. Everything we have and everything we are is given to us by God. Breath, life, food, people we know, all those are given to us by God. And also, in a more wonderful sense, God also gives us something special: salvation, forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, eternal life, and a relationship with Him. God has given us all we have and all we are. Now, we are takers from God. And this is okay. It's right to be a taker from God. So, again, everything we have is given to us by God. And we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you for people we know. thank you for these wonderful things that you've given us, salvation and forgiveness and new life. God has given us those things, and it's good for us to say thank you for all he's done. It's grace. This is God's gift to us. We can't pay for the breath we breathe. God gives it to us. We can't pay for salvation. It's something that God gives to us. And so we're like children in a sense, thanking their parents for providing for them. We're thanking our heavenly parent for providing for us. God's grace. So God is a giver and we are takers. Now, what does God want from us? That's the question. Well, first of all, we give him love and thanks. That's what we just said. But more than that, God wants us to give ourselves to love others. He wants us to go out of our way to love other people. That's what God's done for us, and we're supposed to reflect that, his love for us, in our relationships with other people. And he wants us to be obedient. Jesus is Lord. That means that he's the one who controls us, who looks after us, and we are supposed to obey him. Jesus gave everything to us, and he says it's better to give than to receive. So he doesn't just want us to be takers. He wants us to be givers back to him. So what can we give back to God? That's the question. And we're members of a church here. And a lot of what we give back to God is in the context of being members of a church. Do you remember that? How many of you still got one of those at home? Some of you have. Yeah, we gave these out a year or two, didn't we? And this is what it says in it. Love God and love one another. I think this is really, really profound. It's only 5 words. Actually, it's the first great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love each other. So that is what God is calling us to do. That's what he wants from us. It's giving, not getting. So how do we show we belong to God? Well, here's a little list of some of the things that we can do. We give back to God, giving obedience to God. Now, in the first place, the very first thing that God wants us to do is to believe in Jesus. That's the first step. You can't go any further as a Christian until you've started there. Believe in Jesus. Then he also wants us to be baptized. This is a sign for showing our obedience to him. He says, if you've been baptized, come out. Come out of the closet. Be baptized as a public statement that you are a new family member in the body of Christ. And there's another thing that he wants us to do. He wants us to take communion regularly. This is sort of remembering what Jesus did for us when he forgave us and died on the cross for us. Every time we take communion, we're saying, Lord Jesus, yes, you are my Savior. I'm no good without you. But with you, I can have forgiveness and new life. So we have to do that. Do this, said Jesus, to remember me. Do it. Do it. It's obedience. We have to do it because he says we should. It's a command. And we eat and drink together. It's like, you know, I thought about this. If you think about Christmas time, sometimes you have the whole family together, all sitting around the table. You might not do that normally. You might eat on your knee watching telly. But perhaps at Christmas time, you sit around a table, you know. And one of the kids is in a bit of a sulk and says, I'm not coming. You know, and they're missing out on the family, aren't they? You know, they're sitting out there somewhere else and the family's eating together and having fun together. That's what God wants. He wants us to be participating in this wonderful meal together. So, who are we? We are believers, yes. We're Christians, yes. We're church members, yes. And we're disciples and followers of Christ. And we are also priests. Now, did you know that you are a priest? God calls you a priest. Look, there's a group of us here. Some of you might recognize your faces. You are a group of holy priests, it says. Yes, old picture. You may have looked a bit younger than those in that picture there. But anyway, that's gone now, so you can't look at it anymore. Yes, so the Bible talks about each of us here, every single believer, as a holy priest. We're called a priesthood of believers. Now, you may not have heard that term, but we are priests. This is what Peter said. You are a group of holy priests. And with the help of Jesus Christ, you will offer sacrifices that please God. Now, we tend to think of priests as people that wear fancy clothes in the Anglican Church or the Roman Catholic Church. They come in and they may have fancy hats, and they might wear white gowns, and they come in and, you know, all this stuff. And you think, well, they're priests. But God says to us, you are priests. Every one of us is a priest. It's not just the elders or Trevor in this church. It's all of us. It's you and me. We don't have the fancy robes. We don't need them because God didn't tell us to put them on. But we are priests. Now, what does that mean? It's a good question. What does it mean if you are a priest? God's given us a special title and responsibility. He says, you are a group of holy priests, and with the help of Jesus Christ, what? You will offer sacrifices that please God. That's what priests do. They offer sacrifices that please God. And if you're offering sacrifices, are you giving or taking? Giving, aren't you? You're giving something. So I wonder what kind of sacrifices we could be giving to God in the church as priests. You might be surprised about the first one. Give time in service to others. Menial tasks. Now, I don't think you'll ever find this in the Bible, but this is one of the tasks that we as priests might be doing. Taking out rubbish. Serving the people of God. If nobody takes out the rubbish, we will get piled up in this place with rubbish. So somebody needs to do it. And God is calling us to look for things like that to do, to serve the people of God. Vacuuming the floor. I wonder how many of you have ever vacuumed the floor in this church. Some, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. I know some of you have. But that's the kind of thing that God wants priests to do, to serve the people of God. Doing the dishes. Quite often I see people after the service in the kitchen doing dishes for the people that have drunk a cup of coffee. That's another menial task. Doing the toilets. Have you ever done the toilets in this place? Somebody does them. I think I know who it is. But if nobody did them, we wouldn't like to enter the toilets because they need to be clean. And this is part of the service of priests. And putting chairs out. Trevor's the master of this. Well done, Trevor. But Trevor shouldn't have to do it all the time. And if chairs need putting out, if you have an event, we need to put them back again. And that's another job that priests can do. So what other kinds of things can we do? Giving time in service to others. Serving other people food and drinks. Now, I know quite a lot of you have been doing this. That's a nice old picture there. Look at that lady with that teapot there. Wonderful old teapot. This is the work of a priest, serving the people of God. And service to others, different kinds of service to others. I put down here listening to other people and praying with them. This is the work of a priest. Looking out for people in need. Asking what the problem is. Listening to them. And praying with them. That is the job of a priest as well. And giving love to other members. Looking out for people in need, like I just said. practically caring for them. If they've got a practical need, don't just say, God bless you, off you go. Try and help them. That's what we're called to do as priests, because love cares. I think it was Spurgeon said, a famous preacher in Victorian times, he said, you know, when you're in a service, look around. Look at the people. If anyone's distressed, look out for them. Go and have a chat with them. Pray for them. And that's what givers do. Takers are just thinking about themselves, but givers are always thinking about how they can serve and bless other people. And here's a very practical thing: giving regularly some of our money. This is part of our priestly work. Many Christians give at least a tenth of their money to God and his work through the church. When, if you think about it, I don't know if you do this, but maybe at the beginning of the month you think, right, or sometime at the year you think, how are we going to organize our spending in the family? Right, you think, we've got to pay so much in rent or so much on the mortgage. We've got so much to pay on our utility bills and our phones. We've got to pay so much for Sky telly. We've got to pay so much for food and so much for clothes. And you work out a little budget to see if what you can afford to do. And I think that as Christians, we should put God into that budget as well. We should say, right, I'm going to put this aside. Like I don't avoid paying my mortgage or my rent, I'm not going to avoid paying what I want to God. And as I say, a lot of Christians, many, many Christians already give one-tenth of their money to God. That's quite a lot of money. But many Christians do that. They feel this is just as important as paying the rent or the mortgage. And also, we need to be ready for special needs as we hear about them. And then giving service to God through our gifts and abilities. That's another way we can be priests, giving this way. What are you good at? How has God gifted you? Now, it may not be something highly intelligent. Maybe God doesn't want you to work in that way, but you may have practical gifts that would really help other people. And that's very, very good. I just put a few things down here. Music. How much do we appreciate the music that we get in church? It's wonderful to be led by people with musical talents. We really love that. God's using those people to their gifts, musical talents. Painting. Now, that's just a guy painting there, but some of us have that kind of skill. You know, those kids that have been off to South Africa have learned how to lay bricks, which is great, a skill for life. They know how to do it now. But maybe you've got skills like this that you can give. And as a priest, you can give that to God's work. Maybe it's something like teaching children, and we've got people going out regularly to teach children, look after children, and show them God's love in practical ways. And perhaps you can do something like this, working on keyboards. Music, administration, tidying up, putting chairs out, cleaning the toilet. All these are works of the priest. So when you come to church, do you come to get something for yourself, for God? Or do you come to give something to other people and to God? And also, in your Christian life, in your community, where you know, your neighbours, or your work, or the people that you meet in different groups, are you a giver or a taker in those groups? We, as Christians, should be givers in our Christian life in the world, and givers in our families. At different times, we'll be both, but we should be both. As God's priests, sometimes we need to be takers, sometimes we need to be givers, but we should be givers, definitely a part of our lives. God is a giver. He gave us his Son. His Son gave his life for us. God wants us to be takers of his forgiveness, of his gift of eternal life, and all the grace that he offers us. And God wants us to be givers, to serve other people and his church. This is what Paul said. In everything I did, I showed you that by hard work, we must help the weak. Did you know Paul said that? Perhaps you didn't recognize, but it's in Acts. Remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we are all believers in Jesus, I hope. And we're members of his body, the church, because of that. As church members, as members of his body, remember these words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God gives to us, yes. He wants us to be takers from him, yes. And he wants us to be givers to other people around us. And that's our calling as priests in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you that you have given us so much. You have given us your Son. You have given us freely forgiveness. You have given us pardon. You have given us eternal life. You have given us a new family. You have given us a Savior. Lord, you have given us so much. And we just reach out our hands and say, we accept what you have given. We take what you have given to us, Lord, and say a big, 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 big thank you for what you have done. And Lord, we pray that you will help us in our lives in church, in our lives with our families, in our lives with the people we meet day by day, to be givers, givers of love, givers of kindness, givers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.